a lot of people out there talking about this conspiracy. They call it the Great Reset. And I've looked into it, and everyone's talking about this economic reset, this cultural reset, where the socialists and the communists come in and they take over our lives. And I don't know how much I buy into that level of coordination, but what I will say is this. Politics is a game of chess. It is a very complicated game of chess. You might even say like 4D chess. And as we all know, there are phrases like, don't let a crisis go to waste. We all know that there's this idea out there that when things come up, they are for your benefit. When something happens, a massive event happens, you can use it for your benefit politically. And what I see what's going on with the impeachment and the attempts to silence conservatives, independent thinkers, right-leaning individuals, when I see these attempts going on actively, I view this as part of the chess game. You have to understand that as much as someone like Mark Zuckerberg or Jack Dorsey comes out and they say that they are free advocates for free speech, they are not in any way, shape, or form whatsoever, because they have to control their website, right? They're not in for free speech whatsoever. They have to maintain total control over their website, and that includes speech that they don't like. And also, it includes speech that potentially their advertisers don't like. So if they're beholden to their advertisers, and their advertisers say, we don't like that you allow President Trump on your website, we will pull out unless you get rid of President Trump. They're not going to stand by their morals. They're not going to say, this is my company, I do what I want. They're going to say, absolutely, Pepsi, absolutely, Coca-Cola, we will be removing President Trump. This is the way that this works. You have to understand that these guys are cutthroat capitalists, and they do not care about things like freedom of speech. They might say that. It sounds good to care about freedom of speech. But in application, it's really very difficult. I'll give you an example. I was speaking to a friend of mine just recently. He's a liberal menace, my friend Billy. And he said, man, I got to find a way to get all these right-wingers just to shut up. That was his language. I said, what are you talking? And he knows that I'm a right-leaning guy. He knows about my political preferences. And he knows that I have no problem defending the president at the drop of a hat. So he knows all this. And he says this just to get me agitated. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we got to find a way to get all these right-wingers off of social media. Again, he's trying to agitate me. I said, well, how would you do that? And he said, well, we got to set up a commission to oversee social media sites so they don't allow any of these QAnon people or any of these right-wing people on the platform. And I said, wait a minute, you're combining two things. You're saying QAnon and right-wing, and you're putting them on the same sandwich. Why do we have to ban both at the same time? And he said, because that speech is dangerous. And that's what it comes down to. Who gets to decide what speech is dangerous? I think the most dangerous kind of speech is when someone says, on this day, at this time, we're going to go do this action. Like that, for example, we heard at the top of the hour of the news, there was that story about a flyer going around about an armed protest at the Capitol at a specific date and time on Sunday. And I said, no, thanks. I do not like that whatsoever. You're going to go with guns? I just see that as a recipe for disaster. Again, we could talk about the Second Amendment in a minute. But point being, the most dangerous speech that I know of is when somebody actually calls for violence. When somebody actually says, I'm going to hurt this other person. That is the most dangerous speech that I know of. So Jack Dorsey came out and he warned staffers that the social media giant's recent crackdown after the U.S. Capitol riots will be much bigger than just banning President Trump's account. Here's what that sounded like.
You know, we are focused on one account right now, but this is going to be much bigger than just one account. And it's going to go on for much longer than just this day, this week, the next few weeks. It's going to go on beyond the inauguration. We have to expect that. We have to be ready for that. We need to think much longer term around how these dynamics play out over time. I don't believe this is going away anytime soon.
So he goes on to discuss Twitter's massive cleanup of 70,000 QAnon-related accounts in the wake of the deadly January 6th riot in D.C., calling it one such example of a much broader approach that we should be looking at and going deeper on. Now, you're removing 70,000 people who are related to the QAnon phenomenon. And again, I really despise that whole idea. I'm not interested in that whatsoever. It's a conspiracy that I will not subscribe to. And it is so far out there that I don't know how someone could do the mental gymnastics to get to that point. But he's saying we're going to clean up everybody who's QAnon related. What if someone was just looking into it? I made a video on my YouTube channel about QAnon. I made a full kind of about four and a half minute video about QAnon. It's on my YouTube channel, Human Genius. It got age restricted because of the content. I'm not a QAnon individual. I'm not a QAnon guy. It was just my thoughts and expressions, as I'm doing right now on QAnon, is almost identical. And yet it got age restricted, and then it got flagged, and then it got reviewed, and they said, we're going to allow you to keep up this video, but now you have to be 18 or over, and you have to have an account to sign into it. And I thought, I'm being critical of the group. What are you talking about? I'm trying to explain the phenomenon of QAnon going on here. I'm in no way sympathetic. Why do I need you to come in and editorialize my content and restrict my content in that way and put a little disclaimer underneath the video that links people to the QAnon Wikipedia page? Why is this necessary? And this is what I talk about, going back to what I was mentioning earlier, when I talk about chess, 4D chess. I strongly believe that when they put that little disclaimer at the bottom of the tweet, where they put the little disclaimer underneath your YouTube video, where they put the little disclaimer on any kind of information that you're going to read, that is meant as a warning. Do not talk about these things, otherwise you will be flagged. My content has been flagged since the inauguration 4 or 5 times, meaning someone flagged my content and they said, this is dangerous content, you should review it. And then someone manually reviews my content and they go, okay, you can leave it up. I have less than 1,000 subscribers, and I get emails from YouTube saying, we are manually reviewing this video. This is absurd. This is absolutely ridiculous. So what kind of world are we going to live in, where we have to have your content manually reviewed every time you talk about something that's a little contentious? If I post a video talking about Donald Trump, it gets flagged immediately. Unbelievable, right? On a tiny, teeny, tiny little YouTube channel, less than 1,000 subscribers. But that's just the way it works now. And that's because they know what they're doing. They're trying to tell you that you should not be talking about these things. Otherwise, you will be flagged. Otherwise, we were going to review your content. This is a warning every single time. This is a massive crackdown on people who don't think the way that they want you to think. And I might actually, I'm thinking about making a video now that is just as lefty as I could possibly make it, and seeing how that goes in the algorithm. I'm thinking about making a video that is so digestible to any kind of like Bernie bro or something like that. Just the most AOC positive video that I could possibly make. Let's see how far that gets, how much traction that gets. Speaking of the United States, Washington leaders, you know, we were talking about COVID-19 earlier. Politicians are promising change after a slow vaccine rollout. About 201,000 COVID-19 shots have been administered in Washington so far, but officials agree that's not enough. Jay Inslee came out and he said that every state is having challenges regarding the COVID-19 vaccine. Here's what that sounds like.
Frankly, we have not been having a stable supply system. So that we can plan these vaccines. I believe that's going to improve. Every state is having these challenges. It's like any new system. But I believe we're going to have a fairly rapid increase in our production of getting people this vaccine.
Don't even get me started on my content that I've made about COVID-19, because I have made content complaining about COVID-19 flagged every single time. Someone texted in, they said, when did social media sites become the arbiters of truth? Because they give themselves that mantle. Because they want you to think a very particular way about the lockdowns. They want you to think and talk about the election in a very particular way. They want you to think and talk about society and culture in a very particular way. And if you don't, they're going to suppress it. And this is why I'm talking about going somewhere else to try to find a new place for individuals, a new place for content for individuals. By the way, the state's Secretary of Health says that there's a lot better plan is on the way when it comes to COVID-19 vaccines. Here's what that sounded like.
Our message to the public is, look, we're going as fast as we can, but we need to do better. And we are doing better, and we are going to do even better.
So who should not be getting vaccinated for COVID-19? The rollout isn't going very well. Things are going pretty miserable. People are blaming the federal government. But who should not get the vaccine? Like, if you're like me, I have said, I don't get the flu shot. I already had COVID-19. I don't feel like I need to go get the vaccine. I don't feel like I need to prove to anybody that I got the vaccine. So what if I don't want to get it? But there's also people who should not get the vaccine. So again, while most people are encouraged to get vaccinated, the CDC says people who've had an allergic reaction to any ingredients in the COVID-19 vaccines should not. It's kind of weird when you think about it, Peyton, because you would imagine how could somebody know what ingredients are in the COVID-19 vaccines. Like, it's not like Coke or Pepsi, you know what I mean? You can't turn the bottle around and look at what the ingredients are in there. How could you possibly know if you're going to have an allergic reaction to what's in there?
I mean, I have no clue, like, what I'm actually allergic to, but I'm sure someone has that on file somewhere, whether it's my doctor or something. I don't know. I'm just going to go on the, you know, bet that I'm not allergic to anything. And you can find the ingredients of each vaccine. I've seen them posted in articles. Know that you're allergic to one of those, you know, ingredients in a vaccine, then, you know, it's probably something. If you've been allergic to other vaccines before, I would assume take a look at these.
Right.
But if you haven't had allergic reactions to the vaccines previously, let it fly.
So I had to get stitches in my arm at one point in time. I had a kind of a small cut in my arm, but it required stitches. I go to get stitches, and they put the bandage on. And I go home, fall asleep, wake up the next day, go to change the bandage. I look at my arm. It's huge. It's ballooned up. It's out of control. I go, oh, no, what's happened? I have a huge infection. As it turns out, your good friend Jack Stein is allergic to vinyl-based adhesives. I had no idea that that was such a thing. I had no idea that a human being could be allergic to such a thing, but it exists. And so, again, I think for your own safety and an abundance of caution, going and checking out that list and seeing if you do have an allergy to it would likely be a very, very good idea. Joe Biden has rolled out this new plan for the vaccines and also what's going on with the stimulus checks. Now, if you remember, Joe Biden announced to everybody during the debates, he said everybody's going to be getting another $2,000 check. He said $600 was just a down payment. So Joe Biden now has announced his plans to offer a stimulus checks of up to $1,400 per person. He even hopes to raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. We talked about this before. But he's calling it the American Rescue Plan. We need desperately for Joe Biden and the massive state apparatus to step into our lives. Thank you so very much. But during his announcement of the American Rescue Plan, President-elect Joe Biden pushed for the minimum wage in the United States to be raised to at least $15 an hour. Here's what that sounded like.
It includes much more, like an increase in the minimum wage to at least $15 an hour. People tell me that's going to be hard to pass. Florida just passed it. As divided as that state is, they just passed it. The rest of the country is ready to move as well. It should be a national minimum wage of $15 an hour. No one working 40 hours a week should live below the poverty line. That's what it means. If you work for less than $15 an hour and work 40 hours a week, you're living in poverty.
I agree. If you stop regulating businesses into dust, then maybe they can afford to pay their employees more. You got to think about the amount of money that businesses pay. I'm talking small mom and pop businesses, even the amount of money that they pay in taxes. You have some businesses that are taxed effectively at something like a 27 to 30 to 35, even in some cases 40%. It's absolutely unbelievable. So now he's taking the federal government and he's putting the burden on top of these businesses and say, well, now you have to pay these people $15 an hour. This is not tenable. This will not work. Now he's saying, well, they did it in Florida and that state is so divided and look what they accomplished in Florida. Is Florida known for their regulations? Ask yourself, is Florida known as a heavy regulatory state? As a heavy regulatory? Nope, they're not. So it made sense for them to do it if they so wanted to do it. But when you tax businesses and individuals to such an extent that they can't afford it, you will see businesses go under. Now, this Biden also lists off a bunch of other parts of this plan. This is a huge plan. $20 billion national program to establish community vaccination centers across the United States and send mobile units to remote communities. Medicaid patients would have their costs covered by the federal government. An additional $50 billion would expand testing efforts and help schools and governments implement routine testing. Why, though? I missed that meme. Why, though? These are children. They are the least likely to be able to die from COVID-19, let alone contract COVID-19. Why? Do we really need to be doing the testing right now, or do we need to do vaccines, therapeutics, treatments, and just focus on that? This seems like just a tremendous waste of money. Someone would have to explain to me why we would need to do rapid testing at schools. Stimulus checks of $1,400 per person in addition to the $600 checks Congress approved in December. I bring this up every single time we talk about this. I will do it again. What if I don't need it? I'm not better than other people. I'm not higher than other people. I'm in no way saying I'm snubbing my nose at $1,400. But what if I don't need it? What if I've been blessed enough to continue to be able to work during the pandemic? Am I still going to have to pay the $20,000, $30,000 in taxes that are going to be coming down on a regular basis because of all the money that we're just shoveling out the door? People talk about, they're saying, we need to focus on the now. We need to focus on the now. I don't want my kids and my grandkids to be tax slaves. I don't want them to live the life that I am currently living as a tax slave. So why are we doing this? So I do think that there are certain people who absolutely need the checks, and I want people to have access to that money if they so need it. I don't need it. Can you cross my name off the list? Thank you very much. I'm just not interested in it. We can save that $1,400 for another person, but this is almost like buying votes. The way that I'm thinking about it now is the way that you ever hear about how elections are done in the Philippines? My wife is half Filipino. And the way that it works is like this. The politicians who are running for local office, they go around with gift baskets. These baskets that have candies and t-shirts and mugs and all this other kind of stuff. And they go around to communities and they hand out these baskets and they say, you should vote for me. And there are people out there who vote based on who has the best gift basket. This is a real thing that happens in the world. I feel as if the Democrats are attempting to buy votes. Look at what we did for you. We gave you checks for $1,400 and then $600. You should always vote Democrat because if this happens again, guess who's going to be there to cut you more checks? So there's also a temporary boost in unemployment benefits and a moratorium on evictions and foreclosures, which is going to be extended through September. Again, talking about the federal minimum wage raised to $15 an hour from the current rate of $7.25. An emergency measure requiring employers to provide sick leave would be reinstated. I understand that one. I'll tell you, I'm a sucker for people who are working and they get sick and they can't go to work and their boss says, I'm not paying you for the day. I get that one. You can call me a lefty all you want for acquiescing to that one point, but I'm not a cruel-hearted individual. So I do think that someone should, if they happen to contract COVID-19, I do think, and they got to take a couple days off work. I don't think that's such a bad idea. But then you have a child tax credit. For why? Again, it's about $4,000, $8,000 for two or more, making less than $125,000 a year. So you're going to get a tax credit for the amount of kids that you have. Just, I mean, it's just money, money, money out the door. Just spend and spend and spend and spend. And there is no end to it. And this is, quite frankly, what I was worried about with Joe Biden. I talked about it a lot. Apparently, nobody listened to me. That we were going to get so worked up about COVID-19 that we were going to put Joe Biden in power or whoever his cronies are in power. And now we're just going to spend our way into oblivion. You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. A $2,000 check is a great intention. It sounds really nice. It sounds really kind. What about 10 years from now when the debt comes due, what position do we have then? 10 years from now. I'm just, call me crazy for thinking about the future. I mean, call me insane for thinking about what's going to happen 5-10 years down the line. Say that I'm being a total lunatic about it, but I foresee that this is going to be a big deal. Now, there was a story that I wanted to talk about as well. We all know about this New Jersey gym owner who was choosing to leave his gym open during COVID-19. He said, the government's not helping me. They're not cutting me any money to keep my business open, so I'm just going to keep it open. He owns Atlas Gym. His name is Ian Smith, and he told America's Newsroom that his bank account was wiped out in a state asset seizure amid the battle over COVID-19 fines. Here's what that sounds like.
2 days ago, Frank and I checked our bank account like we do every day as we come into work, and there was a New Jersey execution for over $165,000, which was every single penny that we have in our business bank account. That money actually, since we do not charge our members and we have not charged our members during any of this period since April 1st, is entirely donations and t-shirt sales that we've used to fundraise and fight our legal battles and pay our bills.
Nobody likes a bully. And I hate it when the state is a bully. I really despise it when the state comes in. And this is a guy who, again, he's just trying to run his business. He doesn't want anybody to get hurt. He doesn't want anybody to get sick. He's just trying to run his business the way that he sees fit. And yet they come in, they seize all of his assets, and they tell him, you're a very bad boy for trying to run your business and keep your employees working. You're a very bad boy. How dare you? Now we will take all of your money. What is moral about that? truly, what is moral about that? What is correct about that? What makes that acceptable in your mind? Nobody likes a bully whatsoever. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rantz. We got to take a real, real quick break. When we get back, a little bit more information about COVID-19, and also Joe Biden nominates who as DNC vice chair? You're going to find out. Take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. I'm Jack Stein, sitting in for Jason Rantz. This segment is brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. I was just, I got a phone call during the break. I'm going through all the things I'm going to go through for the next segment. I got a phone call from one of my very liberal friends. He's listening to the show. And he said, how dare you come out against $2,000 checks? He said, people need those checks. And you're sneering at people who need those checks. I said, that is not the argument that I made whatsoever. Made me think about this. How often do you think that people are actually actively listening? And I mean actively paying attention to the arguments that you are making. What most people tend to do is they're formulating a counter argument instead of being present in the moment. And I found myself often having to remind myself to stay very present when I'm in a debate with somebody or when I'm talking to somebody and really tease out what their argument is, because most of the time, people are arguing from a place of fear or concern or something to that effect. They're very afraid about what the outcome of a certain conclusion is going to be. I am very afraid of the conclusion of all of this money just going out the door. I am very afraid of that conclusion. And you might be saying, well, why? There are many people out there who say, well, why should we be afraid of spending all of this money? And I'm looking about what happened in Venezuela, and I'm looking at the total erosion of that culture. And I'm not talking about the socialist state. That's a completely different issue entirely. We could rip into that for an entire 3 hours. But what I'm talking about is the spending. What it means to spend and tax and spend and tax and spend and tax. What that does to a culture. You erode it entirely, and then all of a sudden it becomes oppressive, and you have these dictators come in, these authoritarians come in, and they say, well, we borrowed all this money, we have to pay it back somehow, how are we supposed to pay our debts? If we don't pay our debts, you're not going to be able to get any bread. So it's insidious in so many ways, because people don't realize, I don't think that Joe Biden realizes, that when you come in and tell somebody that they have to pay their employees $15 an hour, as opposed to relieving regulations so that they can do that, what he's imposing on people, or what the idea of just completely blowing out the budget and just borrowing, this whole plan is going to cost another $2 trillion, what that means in the long term, because he will likely pass away before any of that comes down the pike. Nancy Pelosi will pass away. Chuck Schumer will be long gone before that tax bill comes due. But it's okay, because in the immediate, it feels really nice and it feels really great. And wow, we're cutting everybody $2,000 checks. I was listening to a gentleman. He owns a restaurant in Michigan, and he was saying that if the government had cut me a check last year for $40,000 and told me to stay home, I would have stayed home. If they had given all my employees $40,000 and told us all to stay home, I would have closed my business. But they didn't. They gave us a $1,200 check, and then they complained for 9 months, and then they gave me another check for $600. And so we see that again, I'm going to point to kind of my conspiratorial mind acts up with this particular issue. This was never about the money. This was never about getting people checks. This was never about getting people relief. This was about politics. This is about power. Look at the power that the Democrat Party had amassed by holding up the relief bill, by asking for a $4 trillion bill, and then saying, why aren't you giving it to us? Why won't you give us this bill? We just want to cut people $2,000 checks. Why won't you give us the money that we're asking for? Because of all the pork that was in it. You could say that Mitch McConnell was doing his duty as a quote-unquote fiscal conservative to say, I'm not going to pass that bill. And yet the narrative became that Mitch McConnell was stymieing the Democrats. He was affecting the Democrats, and how dare he do such a thing? He was preventing the Democrats from getting the bill through. Yeah, because it was ridiculous. Everything that was in that initial bill was absolutely absurd. So when people call me and they say, how dare you come down on $2,000 checks? I'm not coming down on $2,000 checks. I'm coming down on everything that comes with that $2,000 check. This was used as a power grab, if you want to use that phrase. And I don't mean it in a conspiratorial sense. What I mean by a power grab is this was to show the American people, low information voters, that they needed $2,000 checks. and you hold people out as long as you possibly can, and then boom, you give it to them, and they're supposed to thank you. I want you to think about it like this. Imagine that you're being kept in a room, and you can't leave, and there's no water, and there's no food, and then somebody comes in, and they give you a cup of water, and they give you a sandwich, and they say, we're going to bring you food again soon, and then you wait 9 days, and then on day 9, they come in again with a little cup of water and a little sandwich, and they go, hey, sorry about that, here you go. You will be so thankful. You will be so, even though you are being held captive against your will, you will be so thankful. Thank you so much for bringing me this little glass of water and this sandwich. And that's why I'm upset about the $2,000 checks, because they are manipulating people into believing that that is the way that you are supposed to live your life, completely dependent on the government. And as someone who used to be completely dependent on the federal government for his livelihood, as someone who lived in effectively just a complete welfare cocoon, I can tell you that I was absolutely miserable. I was so unhappy. So I try to warn people about what it is like to live that life. I sincerely, if I could do anything in broadcasting, it would be trying to warn people about what it is like to live completely dependent on the federal government. And you literally begin to rot in this nice, comfy cocoon where you get money every month and you get free healthcare and you get food stamps. You begin to rot. Now, some people I understand entirely. They need it. They need whatever you want to call it. There are some people out there who are just desperate and they are on harsh times and they need help for a couple of months, or, you know, they need a short-term help until they get back on their feet. I totally understand when people make that argument. But when we're talking years and then we're talking decades, you are literally facilitating someone a very, very slow and comfortable death, in my humble opinion. So again, it's not about the $2,000 checks. It's about all the ramifications that come with that. Speaking of the DNC, by the way, Joe Biden has nominated Gretchen Whitmer. Good old Gretchen Whitmer. Good, wholesome Gretchen Whitmer coming down to be the DNC vice chair. Now, if you remember, she was being thrown around as a potential VP candidate. And she said, no, thank you. She said that she wanted to focus on ruining the state of Michigan 100% for her time as her time as being governor. She said, I will be focusing on just completely destroying the state of Michigan. And so thank you very much, but no, thank you. And so now she will be the vice president potentially of the DNC. And she is very excited about the prospect of that. And I can tell you that I say good. You know, if she runs the DNC as well as she ran Michigan, that plate, the DNC will not be doing very well in about 6 months' time. Before we got to get out of here, though, I did want to touch on this. I spent a little bit too much time on my $2,000 check rant, but there was, you know, we all know about the Capitol Hill riots and how absolutely awful they were. But I wanted to just share this clip really quick of an individual. He was a Capitol police officer. His name is Michael Fanone, and he says that the rioters wanted to kill him with his own gun. Here's what that sounded like.
They ripped my radio off my vest. Started pulling like ammunition magazines from their holder on my belt, and then some guys started getting a hold of my gun, and they were screaming out, you know, kill him with his own gun. At that point, you know, it was just like self-preservation. You know, how do I survive this situation? And I thought about, you know, using deadly force. I thought about shooting people. And then I just came to the conclusion that, you know, if I was to do that, you know, I might get a few, but I'm not going to take everybody, and they'll probably take my gun away from me, and that would definitely give them the justification that they were looking for to kill me if they already didn't have made that up in their minds. So the other option I thought of was, you know, try to appeal to somebody's humanity. And I just remember yelling out that I have kids. And it seemed to work. Some people in the crowd started to encircle me and try to offer me some level of protection.
I have pored over enough footage at this point of the DC riots to confirm almost conclusively that the majority of people who were there, who were causing trouble, have got to be far, far right, maybe even alt-right agitators who were there to specifically cause trouble. I'm not going to lump them in with MAGA people. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say that these people more than likely were just very extremely far right, either QAnon individuals who have just gone too far down the rabbit hole. You mix in a couple of leftist agitators. You mix in a couple of people from Antifa. You mix in that guy from BLM. What was he doing there? We're going to get to that later on in the show. But what I see in that footage is just unhinged people. I see people who are just mentally ill, because you could not push me to the point where I would want to take another human being's life in that fashion. You could not do it. You storm the Capitol. You're assaulting police officers. I have no sympathy for these people. And quite frankly, Peyton, when I see all the arrests, I say good. I say good for a lot of these people. You should not have gone in there. You should not have stolen all that stuff. I was kind of sad about Podium Guy, though. He was kind of my personal hero. I kind of miss Podium Guy.
You like Podium Guy?
I like Podium Guy. I don't like Viking Guy, but I miss Podium Guy because he was a great meme. He was one of my favorite memes.
I don't know.
And then
Juicebox Grandma. Yeah, Juicebox Grandma is probably my favorite. The only one that I really like connect with on like a spiritual level. Like,
yes,
that's me in like the back of a bar while all the chaos, all the commotion's going on. And I'm just kind of standing there in the corner, smiling, making it look like I'm not totally miserable, and just trying to have a good time.
Juicebox Grandma, Podium Guy, I wish nothing but the best for, but everybody else I don't necessarily care about. Going to take a real quick break. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rantz. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Jack Stein in for Jason Rantz this afternoon. You want to find more of my content? Human Genius is the name of my YouTube channel. Two words, human and then genius. You'll see a little brain insignia, and then you get to click and you get to see the multi-million dollar studio that I'm broadcasting from right at this very moment due to COVID-19 restrictions. I will say, Peyton, that there is a grammar Nazi in the chat right now. 360 says it wasn't a podium, it was a lectern.
They are coming after you, Jack. How
coming
dare you?
After me hot.
You think that you can get away with just calling that a podium? That is a lectern that Nancy Pelosi, the Nancy Pelosi, who you said yesterday you have the hots for, gets to stand at.
I did.
I'm sure you would love to have that that lectern on Human Genius. You would probably stand at that every single day. So this was my homegirl Nancy Pelosi's lectern.
No, well, okay, what sounds better to you, Podium Guy or Lectern Guy? I mean, what has more of a poetic twist to it? Podium Guy.
Podium Guy,
Podium Guy. It's not lectern. This isn't 1860. No one uses the word lectern anymore. We say podium. I mean, this is just the way we're... Anyway, I'm getting way off base. But thank you very much, 360, for chiming in and fixing that for us. Lectern guy. I will never refer to it as lectern guy. He will... Henceforth... he will be Podium Guy. So it is written, so it is done. So Post Malone, speaking of posts, he donated $10,000 of his Crocs to healthcare workers. Now, I had no idea that Posty had Crocs, but he's donating
Crocs. Very exclusive.
Yeah. Only his, but he donated 10,000 pairs of his sold-out Crocs to frontline health workers at 70 hospitals across the country. So he's basically doing it, and he says, as a special early hashtag frontline Valentine's gift, we've teamed up with @PostMalone and @Crocs. And that's why I hate social media so much, because the language has totally, it's totally changed, and now everything is a hashtag, everything is an @.
You don't have to say @ when you verbalize it. You can just say, teamed up with Crocs. Like, it's like saying it's not like I teamed up with radio host Jack Stein. Teamed up with Jack Stein.
You have to
like,
say
the @
I
is just signifying that they are on Twitter.
Well, yeah, that just shows how old I am. I'm an old millennial at 33 years old. But it's to offer our hospital partners nationwide as a gesture of gratitude with extra comfort. I like this. I really like when celebrities go out of their way to be charitable and to be kind and to give stuff away. And I'd like to see more of it. I'd like to see more individuals doing this. I will say this about Post Malone, though. If I could speak to my main man Post, I would say, dude, you gotta stop getting so many tattoos. As a person who has full sleeve tattoos, he's gotta really cut, cause he's just going bananas. And if you look at his face at this point in time, He looked really good when he just had a couple of them, but now it's an obsession with him to cover his entire face with tattoos, and I don't know what that's going to be like in 10 or so years. And I'll tell you why. I got a lot of my tattoos about 10 years ago. I'm 33 now. I was 23 when I started getting tattooed heavily. If I could go back, I would reduce the amount of tattoos I have by about 80%. I would really cut it down. I would really wheel it back a tremendous amount.
Is it just like because taking up too much real estate on you, or what?
Yeah, I mean, but it's like wearing a shirt that you can't take off. And then I have things that I have things that meant a lot to me when I was 23 years old that now at 33 don't mean so much to me at all. Like I have a pinup girl on my forearm who when I got her, she looked like she was about 20 years old, and now she looks like she's about 40 years old because of the sun and because I've gotten older as an individual. So if I could convince people getting tattooed too much, it's just not a good way to, it's not necessarily a good way to live when you're just kind of, if I could go back, I would. I had a really great tattoo idea that I wish I could get now, which I thought was really clever, and I still wish I could get it because it has to do with my new political party that I call the Pig Party. And our symbol is a pig, like a profile of a pig, like a cartoon pig. And the top of it is red, and the bottom of it is blue, and it's got three stars in the middle, and it's the Pig Party. And we're for everything that the DNC and the RNC is not for. We're the Pig Party. So anything that those guys mess up, we get right. Think about it. You're never wrong. Anytime anybody criticizes the RNC, then I would say, you should have been in the Pig Party. We voted the opposite way. And then people would go, what? Oh, you see where I'm going with this? Anytime the DNC does anything wrong, I would say, you got to be in the Pig Party because we do everything right. Anything that you don't like, we do right. The Pig Party. We're never wrong. That's the slogan. So I should have gotten that tattoo because that's been my idea for quite some time, just to get around all the political nonsense. Again, try it in your own life. Anytime anybody tries to criticize the RNC or the Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, just try this out for size. Just say, should have been part of the Pig Party. And they're going to say, what's that? And you're going to say, Pig Party, never wrong. We're always having a good time over it.
Can you get a tattoo artist or a graphic designer to draw up a concept of this logo? Because we should be publishing this on Twitter, and you really need to be pushing this more often on Human Genius.
I will get my lovely wife to draw this for me. She's a beautiful artist, and I'll make a whole episode dedicated to the Pig Party. So before we got to get out of here, I would say this. There is a woman who has decided to sell her husband's PlayStation 5 after she discovered it was not an air purifier. If you don't know, attempting to get a PlayStation 5 for many people has been an absolute nightmare. People are jacking up the prices. It's a $500 piece of equipment. Some people taking that price up to $2,000 in some cases, $2,500. Scalping it. So this guy went out and he buys a PlayStation 5, and his old lady was deeply upset by this, that he would spend that money. So she sent it back. She said, you are not going to be able to keep this. Peyton, PS5 or Xbox Series X in our last 90 seconds?
I've been an Xbox guy my entire life, but I am so interested in getting the PS5. I would much rather go out right now and buy the PS5, but it seems like the Xbox Series X is going to be much more obtainable to me, where they're kind of restocking more often than they are the PS5. So I'm probably going to end up getting the Xbox Series X, but I want the PS5.
360 is back with a vengeance. A podium is something you stand on, a raised platform, not something you step to in order to give a speech. It's not hard to get it right. You know what, 360, I think you've won this argument, but he will forever be podium guy, regardless of what you say, 360. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rantz. We got to take a real quick break. When we get back in the 5 o'clock hour, a lot more news coming around. Just a tremendous amount of lockdowns going on at the Capitol, and we will get into all of it when we get back. We'll be right back after this.